It's a walk and talk. And effectively, it's just, you know, meeting beautiful people in a beautiful space.
With so many supportive people around, and that's been like wonderful to see, that it's like this collaboration, it's this ritual, it's this like philosophy. Like for me, it's like a, you can't actually explain it until like you've done it. People are like, oh, but I've climbed Lion's Head before. Like, no, but you haven't done it this way.
Most people are so in the trenches, you know, working sort of in their businesses. They don't really have time to kind of get a different perspective of exactly, you know, what are they building, because.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. Welcome to the Right Place. Today's guest is proof that one bold idea followed through consistently can change lives one step at a time. This is Mr. Will Green. He's an entrepreneur, growth strategist, and the founder of Colab. But it's also all of his fault that many, many people wake up really early on a Friday morning to get to Lion's Head by 05:55 a.m. to start climbing Lion's Head, one of the most famous mountains in South Africa and probably around the world. It's become a meaningful connection place. Some call it even a ritual. And today we're going to break that down. Well, every Friday morning leads a group of entrepreneurs, business owners, people in Cape Town for the weekend, and generally cool people up Lion's Head. And I mean every Friday. Come rain or shine, there's a group of mad people climbing Lion's Head, and it's been wonderful to be a part of over the last couple of months. What started as one walk and talk to avoid Cape Town's traffic has become 100 walks and thousands of connections and conversations and photos of Table Mountain. Will, thank you so much for showing up here at the right place.
Great to be here, John. Thanks for the invite.
Awesome. Will, we are fast approaching the 100th Will Green Walks. And it's been phenomenal to get to know you over the last couple of months as I've joined the walk 7 times so far. Will, what does the 100th walk mean to you personally?
Well, I'm a big one to kind of celebrate milestones. I think it was been ingrained in me to kind of have a goal and achieve it. But to be honest, it's a round number. I like symmetry. and it's just an opportunity just to kind of celebrate and connect people. I think it's going to be quite a big one. So I'm actually a bit scared that I might get sort of lynched by other runners or trail walkers because I've suddenly turned this mountain into something quite busy. But yeah, I think it's a good time to reflect back over the past kind of 2 years and also just celebrate with the people who show up.
No, excellent. Well, we're all really looking forward to it. And well, it's been one of the best things I've started over the last 6 years since we moved to Cape Town from Pretoria. And I haven't shared this story previously with yourself. In September last year, I had this brainwave to start my own little networking function on a weekly basis. And we were going to do a lunch on a Wednesday at an Indian restaurant, and I'd set it up and I'd spoken to the restaurant and everything. And literally about 2 weeks later, I joined Grant Webster and Marco on my first Walgreens walk. And that idea of my own networking event and doing something on a Wednesday just like went out of my head. I was like, dude, that's so boring, so last century. I want to do this every Friday and piggyback off your event and just come and attend and support and encourage people to attend. So your event just torpedoed my little silly idea for Wednesday lunch. But no, it's been one of the best things to be a part of. And I keep telling people, I've never had a bad walk. I've just never had a bad conversation. You meet cool people, you meet interesting people. And I think that's the magic and the impact that it's had on so many lives already.
Yeah, I always say this. People always say, you know, have you walked any other mountains and are you going to do like Devil's Peak and Indian Fenster? And I'm like, no, I like Lion's Head. I'm a margarita guy. You know, you go to a restaurant and if it's an Italian restaurant, I always like judging a restaurant by its most basic. But the interesting thing is that it's a great bookend for a week. Some people have different practices, whether it's going to church or having a Sunday lunch with their family. For me, this is my sort of bookend. And every single time I'm different because it's been a different week. I invite different people. The mountain's different because it's different seasons. It could be raining. There could be flowers out. And the conversations are different. So there's no walk that's been the same. And we've had our sort of fair share of like trauma and celebrations and everything in between. But yeah, it's something I've just committed to myself, and I've committed to the community that I will be showing up at 5:55. You know, every Friday to walk it until I can't walk no more. You know, I was joking to my kids that I'm going to be one of those first people who have those like bionic legs, you know, that you import from Japan, you know, to be able to walk.
No, excellent. I think that that's amazing that you've started something and you want to kind of see it through. You don't just want to like, okay, well, let's move on to the next thing. I mean, this is the thing. This is the thing you enjoy doing. You clearly got a passion for it. I see the passion of the people showing up, supporting you. Guys like Grant and Paul and like Catherine and Marco and other Marco and a whole bunch of other people, they're in this with you. So you're the captain of the ship, but you've got so many supportive people around. And that's been like wonderful to see that it's like this collaboration. It's this ritual. It's this like philosophy. Like for me, it's like you can't actually explain it until like you've done it. People are like, oh, but I've climbed Lion's Head before. Like, no, but you haven't done it this way, or you haven't done it with these people. You haven't done it with this vibe on a Friday morning. And until you've done it, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. And I think what's quite interesting is that the diversity of people who come, you know, we've got so many international peoples that join, and literally, I've always wanted it like that, you know, for it to be accessible, you know, for anyone. You know, we've even had one of the Uber drivers who dropped off one of our walkers, and he was like, no, I want to walk. I wanted to get fit. So he joined, you know. So students, you know, people who are in town for the weekend, founders, entrepreneurs, corporates, you know, there's government people, you know, as well, you know. So it's been it's been one of those consistent things. But, you know, for me, collaboration has always been at the core of what good business is. And I believe that the future of businesses will be created out of communities like these, where you do attract good people and magic happens.
No, excellent. I've just seen the magic happening myself. The people that I've met, you connect with, you see them again. And it's not that you have to... you're forced to sell to them. You're just having a conversation. You're walking on a hilltop. You're enjoying the view. You enjoy a sip of water at the top. You take some photos. You take some selfies. And it's so comfortable. Everyone's kind of dressed down. No one's in a fancy suit or anything. No one's behind a Zoom window. And I think that's where you can see the real person. You can have that real connection. You can talk about life. It's not just about a business meeting on a mountain. It's completely different. I mean, we've had fascinating conversations about traveling the world, or coffee, or making wine, or startups, or what your kids are up to and things like that. And that's wonderful. It's not this laser focused business selling. Yeah, it's not this. It hasn't got that intensity about it, like from like a normal networking event. And do you think that is something that's like sustainable over time, and that's why you've got into your 100th walk?
I think it's like any good business or movement or community. It is the people, you know, and obviously you need to have someone who shows up and carries the mantle. I always believe in entrepreneurship. Timing is very important. You know, like this started 2 years ago, and we're only starting to see like run clubs and these kind of community kind of events becoming quite commonplace. I still saw in London there's a sauna club, you know, which is and I think it's centered around wellness and networking outside of the pub, you know. So I think that there's always this kind of, you got to go for drinks, you know, there's no positive way to network, or you go to a conference and there's drinks, you know. So yeah, I'm a morning person, so I like getting up early and getting in front of the day. And like most people who join, they look at the time when they come down and they go, it's only like 20 past eight, you know, like, and I can go to my Zoom call. It also ticks a lot of boxes. I'm someone who's through my career been very much around productivity, and like I say in the walk, I've measured it. It's equivalent of like 5 coffee meetings, just one walk, and you can do it with 40 people and maybe have like 10 conversations. You know, so you're saving yourself 50 coffees, and you're getting your exercise in. So it's ticking a lot of the boxes.
No, that's excellent. Well, now, Will, take me back to that first hike that you and Terrence did. We know why you did it, to avoid the traffic and everything, but take me back to that moment. Like, once you'd completed it, did something like start to like resonate with you and like, hey, we should do this like every week, and we should just skip traffic, and we can just have a comfortable conversation on the mountain. Was that kind of what was going on in your head?
Yeah, definitely. And I've done it before. You know, like, I used to have an office in town and used to travel through from the northern suburbs and leave early and go to gym. And then I would be sick of gym and then go climb Lion's Head by myself. But, you know, I think out of, like, as any good entrepreneur, you know, something gets born out of your deepest frustration. And I absolutely hate traffic. So when Terrence was in town, actually during just before the Easter holiday 2 years ago, he was staying in sort of, I think, Camps Bay or CBD, and the only time he could meet was like at sort of 9 o'clock. And, you know, I did the maths going, well, it's going to be an hour and a half in traffic from the northern suburbs, maybe an hour and a half back. That's 3 hours for this one meeting with this guy I've just met on LinkedIn. Is it really worth it? So essentially I just suggested it to Terrence. And like, again, like any good business, a little Apple note got opened up. I said, was it Will? It's Will's Walks, you know, that's what I called it. And literally I started brainstorming, you know, how I could do this thing. And then straight after that walk, I actually had lunch with John Bradshaw, who was then marketing director at Pick and Pay. And I think I bought him a Thai lunch in Claremont. And he was my marketing consultant. So he said, no, it's got to be Will Green Walks. And that's where it all started. You know, and it's, I joke, it's my sort of very unscalable step tech startup, you know, which is kind of pre-revenue, but it's got a lot of traction. And it is, it's a way for me to, you know, structure my coffee meetings, but now it's got a bit bigger than that. And I actually have to sort of meet people in person on the mountain and then schedule my Zoom meetings after that. So it's been quite interesting.
Yeah, it actually brings quite an interesting dynamic to setting up and talking to people, because you can meet them there early and you might talk to them for 15 minutes and then you've kind of had your meeting, because you would have thought it would have taken an hour to have your coffee meeting. But now you kind of touched base, or you talked about a product or a launch or some other presentation you needed to do. And then you've still got another hour and a half that you can talk to other people. So exactly like you said, I find like you have these key conversations and then suddenly, oh, flip, we're still going up the hill. Let me talk to Jason. Let me talk to Ben. Let me talk to Gerard. And you catch up, or hey, this person looks interesting. I haven't met them before. Let me introduce myself. So you kind of like fast forward a lot of conversations. And then, like you said, you get down at 20 past eight. You can still go for coffee. You can go to Camps Bay. You can go to Vida, whatever. And you can just continue there. Or you can say, hey, guys, can we jump on Zoom at 12 o'clock today? Or I'll see you just next week and we pick up where we left off. So I think it really is something that spurs this creativity in terms of how we connect. We don't just have to go and sit in a boring coffee shop. Start the day on the mountain. Who knows who else you're going to meet? Invite people. They say, hey, guys, I'm doing this. So don't like cancel the Will Green's Walk. Like, I'm going to still participate. But meet me there. Yeah. We take it from there. We see where the day goes.
Yeah, and that's what I've loved, because people have sort of taken, you know, started inviting their normal coffee meetings, you know, so you're bringing people in to have that meeting or that catch up with a friend, and then basically you can meet with other people. And it's also the way that it's structured. It is, Lion's Head is the second most climbed mountain in the world, you know, behind Mount Fuji. And effectively you can walk in sort of a, you know, in a way where you can kind of drop back and join the conversation or go forward and meet someone new. And you're almost in two or three conversations at any one time, you know? But also, yeah, it's a very, I think it's also, we know obviously building businesses is quite lonely. And for me, it is a great way also to support the ecosystem and specifically founders. And we all know that they found is all do suffer from mental, you know, health issues, about 70% of them. So this is also just one way to kind of know, allow founders to know that every Friday at 5:55, there's a place where you can also go and chat and meet with other founders and solve problems together, you know, and talk about your business. And we've got a saying on the mountain, or on my walk, you know, what gets said on the mountain stays on the mountain. And we've developed amazing traditions as a result, you know, of this walk. It's kind of very much community driven with ideas. So on Christmas, we have our sort of Dexter's and Bella's walk, which are the two, the resident dogs who are the regulars, you know, and they put it, and the kids come and join, and we dress up in Christmas gear, to celebrating people's birthdays on the summit, as well as obviously, the 100th, you know, which, I'm having a cake made specially for it.
No, that's wonderful. I love how the community has embraced it. And also that you've been generous enough to give like people the freedom to like express themselves or add value, or, hey, well, can we try this? Or can we do this? It's like, well, dude, the mountain's big enough for like anything. Like, as long as you don't fly a drone and Sandparks mm-hmm. doesn't come chasing us off the mountain, you can almost do whatever you want. And there's enough space to do that. And I think that just adds to like the lore of Walgreens Walks and the story that you're writing. I mean, it can be lonely, especially if you're going to be like very strict, like we only walk in this way, and you only talk to the person on your right, and you got to wear Solomon's, or you got to wear your only black. Like, it isn't like you can come and go as you please. And oftentimes people start with you at the bottom and they're like, guys, yeah, I've got to duck early. They meet you, they greet us, and then boom, they shoot up the mountain, and you see them back down when like we're only halfway up. And that's also cool. Like, so you don't have to like just go with the flow in the pack. You can kind of come and go as you please. So that's also makes it comfortable for people.
It does. Like it's like anything that's good and sort of community driven is that, you know, it's organic, you know, so suggestions yeah. come and you know, and I think in the first year I was very sort of, you know, driven by sort of the milestones, so the, you know, 10th, the 20th, the 50th, you know, and then this year our focus is really on tracking the impact that it's had. Like, and the stories have come back amazing with founders who kind of talking to some guy next to them and telling your story. And at the top, the guy says, well, I've just sold my business. I've got some capital. I'd love to invest in your business. Like literally within an hour, you know, the guy didn't know who the person was. He said, listen, I've got it. You know, to people introducing like same story, product managers, you know, from, you know, a UK based AI, you know, presentation business, you know, you got introduced to his product manager off someone who participated in that walk. So it's kind of a ripple effect, you know, where, you know, you don't realize the impact, but again, it's because of this intentional, place, time, and very sort of rough sort of structure. You know, I always say, you know, there's no agenda. It's a walk and talk. And effectively it's just, you know, meeting beautiful people in a beautiful space and really, being, and there is a culture of giving first. There have been some people who have joined and they say, oh, this is perfect. This is going to be my funnel, you know, for my business, you know, like, and you can quickly see those people because they very sort of, like remora fish, you know? But again, they don't stay around, you know, because, yeah, they don't realize that they might not have anything to give, you know, they're really takers, you know, so yeah, and that's just the way who I am. I'm generally a generous person who knows that there's a lot more to give where what I'm giving. Serendipity. Someone has explained to someone, I'm engineering serendipity. And they said, oh, that's so cool. Cause ideally I do believe in, you know, what you put in is essentially what you can get out. It's not sort of expected, but again, it's planting those seeds, you know, and seeing what actually germinates and what grows.
No, that's wonderful. I think the impact, I mean, is as much as you can measure it, you can't almost measure it as well, because these conversations go off in many directions afterwards. The people meet up privately. You might never know about it, might never hear about it, especially like international people. But I mean, I think that one of the best impacts, I think, is getting people on the mountain and just out of their office, especially for people like founders who are like, by Friday, they have had 100 Zooms. They want to kill everybody in their team. They don't know where the money's coming from. Like, dude, just go climb the mountain. Just like get out, chat to Will, chat to Grant. Just like just like be there. You don't have to even say anything. Just like listen to what people are talking about. Just listen to what people are philosophicking about, if I can use that word. And that might just get your brain thinking in a new direction. Because oftentimes, like you're like trapped in this founder's jail of everything going wrong, and there's so much pressure, and this, that, and the other. And like the Walgreens walk is like a perfect vessel for you to just like tap into, come up for air, literally breathe some fresh air. And I think that is where you can meet people literally in that same struggle as you. Like you think, I'm the only one going through this, no one understands. And you get on the mountain and the first five people you meet are just as hurtful, just as tired, just as exhausted, or just like wanting to meet someone that can just be a shoulder for them to cry on for a little bit. And I think that is like a tremendous impact that people just need to, like, I want a piece of that. I just want to be there. And maybe something happens the third time I'm there, but at least I start this like ritual of going there as well and meeting like-minded people. Just putting yourself in that change of environment can have a huge impact on your outlook on your business.
It's just showing up authentically, you know. And I also do say, you know, everyone is dressed the same in sort of in gym sort of gear and tackies, you know. And you are and I've also been very sort of mindful because you see someone. And you realize also that people do judge people, and you see someone in tackies and stuff, and little do you know that person's worth like, you know, $8 billion, you know, and that's a real story, you know, like, but similarly, he's talking to a sort of a business science second year from UCT who's from Zimbabwe, you know, and it's just the diversity, and that's where there's obviously diversity of backgrounds and thinking. It's a kind of like a poiky pot of collaboration and ideas and sort of problem solving. So yeah, it's one of these things. Also, it's you've got people who kind of use it as their way to giving back, you know, through free mentorship sessions like Grant does. It's also, you get great people who are just sponges, you know, like Marco is an example, asks great questions. And he actually put me on the spot a few walks ago. I haven't told anyone this, but he said, like, you know, Will, you're our leader. Like, what are you doing to lead this community? And at the point, I was sort of, you know, as I've run many businesses of 50 plus people, and I've sort of pulled it right down to kind of keep it quite lean. And then I was like, geez, like this is becoming something a lot bigger than me. And maybe I need to think a bit like that. But yeah, I think that's, I've always been a value creator, business builder in the work that I do with advising businesses and founders. But again, you know, this is just my little side project, my side hustle, I guess.
No, awesome. Well, awesome. And Will, like in the last couple of weeks, I don't know if it's more prevalent now this year, or maybe I just don't know about what's been happening in 2024. There seems to be some people that have been inspired by what you're doing. I mean, my friend, your Don Jacobs, who walked a couple of weeks ago when we had the Lacquer Network launch, he has subsequently launched a similar walk in Pretoria. They do it at Wolverspruit. They've had two walks already. I think they had six people the first time, seven people the second time. And there's a couple of virtual walks happening, especially with the 100th walk that's coming up, and in some other people around the world. So is this something, I mean, I know you alluded to it earlier, is this something that is like excites you that more and more people are doing this? Are you getting a bit nervous that people are like stealing your vibe here? What are your thoughts on that?
Not at all. No, like I think, you know, the kind of stealing thing is a bit of a scarcity mindset. For me, it's this kind of collaboration. It's kind of like, what does 1 + 1 equals, you know, hopefully 3, you know, and again, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, what does that look like, you know, from a global perspective, you know, because, you know, if this was the sort of park run equivalent for founders, you know, where it's accessible to everyone, but it's very defined in sort of the structure of it. And it's been sort of great people who've kind of been on the walk who have then sort of taken it back. You know, I think, we've got Mike Scott's March, you know, which happens in Adelaide, at 5:55. So we see the pictures coming through on the feed, you know, just as we about to start our walk. And I've been approached by many other people from around the world as to kind of how they could do that type of walk. And yeah, I'm thinking how I could sort of scale this. I had a great talk with a friend of mine, Christine, who's an IP lawyer, and she gave me some valuable advice about how this could potentially sort of scale. And she gave me some great advice, you know, but it's not to protect anything. It's just really to make sure that you've got the structure in place so that it can scale. Because you don't want to, you've got to think about what could the worst case scenario be. Like, you know, you have a walk and a touch with something happens to someone, you know, then it's my name attached to that, you know, so you've got to think about these things. But it's, I think that's what I do in business. You look at how you can de-risk it and how you can grow it. I think what I like is that you get a lot of people who talk about creating value and businesses and, you know, but they've never built a business or built a community. And in a way, this is me demonstrating, you know, what I do in real time, you know, so yeah.
Mm. No, excellent. Well, I just wanted to touch on that as we move on to talk more about who you are. Now, we've covered kind of what you do on Fridays. So I want to dive in what you do on Mondays to Thursdays. There are other days in the week and you have to pay the bills and do other stuff. And you told me that your daughter says you help businesses grow. That's how she describes what her dad does. But how do you explain it to people? If someone comes alongside you on the walk, well, I know you're doing the walk, but like, what do you do? What do you mean you help businesses grow?
Yeah, so, you know, I've struggled to define exactly what I do. I've been fortunate in the way that, you know, I can pick and decide, you know, what I do with who I do it with. You know, but, you know, essentially I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a founder, you know, and I think that resonates with a lot of the founders and entrepreneurs that I work with. You know, I'm not an investor first. You know, I've actually never worked in a corporate, you know, my whole career, you know, so I've been untouched, you know, or unbruised or whatever from that. But yeah, essentially, you know, I've got a CoLab, which is my sort of boutique advisory firm, stroke family office. It's where I invest my time to supporting, you know, people who want to grow businesses. So I did some work with Google for Startups with their sort of African accelerator programs. I collaborate with many different organizations in which I can sort of leverage my skills, my network, my wisdom. And effectively, most of the time it is relating to, partnering with the founder to help them to understand, you know, what is their growth journey? Like, why are they creating this business? Mm. Most founders don't even think about, you know, how are they going to sell this business or do they want to sell this business? So it really is leveraging my experience. And I've got this deep care for entrepreneurs who start businesses, and I've made lots of mistakes in my own career. And I just want to help those founders and those entrepreneurs and those majority shareholders, you know, basically maximize the blood, sweat and tears of their years building their businesses. And it can be, you know, looking at it from a strategic point of view, being a sort of a right-hand man, a co-founder as a service, if you want to call it that, to helping them fundraise, you know, helping them to get customers or launch into another market, as well as to looking at preparing their business to exit it or ensuring that there is a continuity plan should anything happen to them. Because that's most entrepreneurs who are probably listening to this don't have a plan should something happen to them if they're a solopreneur. Like, you know, can your partner come in and run your business? You know, and in most cases, that's not the case. Just it's very much on the entrepreneur side, on the founder side, as opposed to on the investor side. I'm an ecosystem builder. So I've built many different sort of early stage high growth ecosystems in Africa and also sort of in Singapore and the UK. And it is just really bridging those people and connecting people, you know, at the right time for the right reasons. So that's, call it a consultant, an advisor, a co-founder as a service. But my daughter is right. You know, I do help companies to grow.
No, excellent. Well, and Will, when you're working with these founders, do you find that you're doing more work in the business or kind of helping them with their mindset, their approach, and working like on the business?
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, I think most people are so in the trenches, you know, working sort of in their businesses. They don't really have time to kind of get a different perspective of exactly, you know, what are they building? Because, you know, some might not have sort of thought about, you know, AI, the impact of AI in their business, you know, and that in itself is a huge potential growth area for their business, or it could potentially disrupt their whole entire business and industry. So it is just being that thought partner, you know, to go through that process. And I think it is all about, just being that sparring partner, that person who can really challenge them. Because I think the one thing as well, and where the walks do sort of plug a gap, is that as a founder, you know, I've got a podcast, Fathers and Founders. You and I started my business when I had a very young family, and I was struggling to balance, you know, working and then coming home and bathing. And I was just still thinking about work and that. So, and you think it's just a hat you take off and you put another hat on. But as you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you literally do not sleep. You're thinking business on the weekend. You're like that. You just can't. You're thinking about solving problems the whole time. And yeah, and it's important to have someone who understands that, and who can also sort of treat you as a whole human, you know, all the emotional stuff, you know, as well as all the sort of the business stuff. Because, you know, in my own business career, I've made a lot of mistakes when I was emotional and I didn't have someone to speak to who could kind of give me that sort of perspective. And essentially, that's why I do what I do.
Well, when you're talking to these founders and helping them, what are some of these blind spots that you are talking about with them? Because some of them might be very deep inside of their business and hard to see, but some of them might be very like surface level, but they just can't see them because they're too busy or things are too hectic.
Yeah, so it's no two businesses are the same. I think it depends really on the mindset of the founder. Generally, I find that founders who are more open to being coached or interested in being more or better optimizing are the ones that resonate, because they're the ones who generally implement the work. So it's a difficult question, but I think what's quite interesting and the way that I've sort of seen myself in the work I do is, you know, I'm sort of a polymath, which is someone who's got a deep knowledge about different topics, and I can sort of take certain things from maybe the health sector and apply it to the financial service or fintech sector across different markets and also different stages in businesses. So, you know, I've kind of advised startups who've just got an idea and they're a serial entrepreneur and they've sold their business and they want to start again, you know, all the way to someone who's got sort of 200 employees and looking to kind of exit their business. So yeah, it's quite a unique sort of skill set, because most people are, you know, either focused on a specific area or industry or a different stage. And that's what makes me wake up excited in the morning.
Excellent. Well, and will you also talk about founders aligning growth with legacy and not just valuation? Because too often, like, can just be focused on the numbers, but like, what does their business mean? What does it mean in the greater scheme of things? What does it mean to their family? What does it mean to their life goals and that? Tell me a bit more about.
Yeah. So I think most founders actually attach an emotional connection with their business, you know, and it's a good thing and also a bad thing, you know. So people talk about your baby, and I always say to entrepreneurs who are starting out, like, name your baby, like, what is it called, you know, because you've got to have an affinity to this idea and this entity, you know. But also, you know, when things are tough and suddenly maybe you haven't pivoted or you haven't sort of diversified, and suddenly your margins are dropping and you sort of cutting costs and doing bulk discount deals in order to get the sort of cash in for cash flow and that, you know, you need to look in the mirror and have an honest discussion to say, hey, well, you know, what do I need to do? How could I salvage this? Or is it time to actually try something new? And those are very hard decisions, you know, to have. But yeah, ideally, that's where I come in and help these entrepreneurs to kind of scenario plan, as well as to kind of see how I can help them, you know, with their business. I think also what's quite interesting is that if you are coming from a founder entrepreneur side as opposed to an investor side, because all investors want you to take their money. It's like going to an orthopedic surgeon. You know, they make money by cutting you. Yeah. So it you do need to have someone whose incentives are aligned with yours, who can also say, well, actually, you've got a great lifestyle business. You know, you can continue it and grow it, because those are the businesses that also hire lots of people and contribute to the economy. You know, and also, yeah, I'm quite curious about sort of secondary funds and how you can raise a fund, you know, to buy secondaries, you know, or you can have a search fund where you can raise a fund which can actually acquire, you know, businesses, and then you put in another operator in who continues that business, as opposed to a pure exit play where you're looking to exit the business. And in most cases, those businesses without the founder, you know, don't survive, and essentially they erode quite a few livelihoods and contribution to an economy. So yeah, those are just some things that I'm thinking about.
No, that's very interesting, Will. And now if someone is listening here, they're a founder and they're feeling a little bit stuck, besides joining Will Green's Walk, if they're in Cape Town, what is like one thing that they can do that can just get them moving in a better direction, and they'll feel slightly better about their life and their business and the journey that they're on?
You know, so I think it's having sort of honest discussions with yourself or with your co-founder, if you do have that, or an independent person. It doesn't necessarily have to be me, but it is a case of just taking a look at the fundamentals in the business. You know, and in most cases, most businesses, they are financial entities, you know. So, you know, and most of the story is in the numbers. You know, are your sales going up? Are your margins growing? You know, what's happening with existing customers? Are they continuing to buy, or are they buying less? So there's a lot of story that you can tell within your numbers. And then in some cases also, you've got to have honest discussions about, you know, what is your sort of ikigai? What is that purpose in your life? And, you know, do you still have that spark? And in some cases, you get founders who are incredibly good at starting businesses, but essentially quite poor at taking it to the next stage. But then you get, you know, very interesting entrepreneurs, you know, like Ulrich from WizPass, who want to explore all stages of the journey, from, you know, when your business does get acquired, what does that next stage look like being part of an international company? So, yeah, I think it's that process. But I think in general, South Africans and Africans build pretty good businesses. You know, but unfortunately, because there's not a lot of capital, you know, they think quite short term and don't have a long term vision for the company. So we're pretty good at when you don't have many resources and you've got to do what you can, boer maak die plan. But in generally, and I've spoken to some founders who have South Africans in their team, but they also have some Germans, and they say the South Africans are brilliant at executing, you know, plans and solving problems. But when it comes to looking at the vision for the company long term, it's more around to what Europeans and in their team can bring to the party. Yeah, so that's a little bit of a word salad answer to your question, but I hope you picked out some feta and maybe some ava.
No, very good there, very good. Well, and talking about words, you told me that your word for 2025 is no, and I didn't expect that at all. I was thinking these weird and wonderful epic words, but you said no. So what are you saying no to, and what does that leave behind for you to say yes to?
Yeah, so I think there's the trends that are emerging, which I'm seeing. You know, I think you look at Tim Ferriss and what his new book's going to be about. It's about saying no. And you know, I'm generally have been a yes person, you know, around, you know, for the past, I think last year I started sort of saying no, although we're on a podcast and I said yes to this. So I am very, very picky with who I say yes to. So you've passed that test. But I think it really comes down to your purpose and your focus for the year. So being very intentional about how you can add value. And there was a guy called Jack Butcher who wrote an article quite recently, and he says, you know, the more popular you get, the more, you know, the more your surface area for distraction actually grows. So you've actually got to pull it back to being very intentional about what your purpose is. And, you know, and mine is really about, you know, collaborations and connections with people who can, you know, who share the same sort of mindset that I do. The no word is more to protect myself. To say yes to being an MC at like a tech investor conference, which you get to fly overseas and stuff, you know, for me, it needs to also be aligned to what I enjoy doing. And also, it has to be aligned to actually a currency as well. So it's like no, but dollars that can open up lots of opportunities as well.
No, I think that's a very fair answer, and I think it's a good approach to have. I think you'll be judged based on what you're saying yes to, and you'll be rewarded what you're saying no to. You'll be rewarded with time to say yes to bigger and better things, or just yes to have more time to think about the stuff that you're doing. If we're just constantly busy, you don't ever have time to reflect on what you're doing, reflect on the impact, reflect on, do I still want to do this? If you're just a yes man, it's just yes, yes, yes. And there is no gap. There is no boredom time. There is no time to reflect or write or journal or meditate or anything like that. So I think that's a very fair answer. And well, here in 2025, I think I know what the answer is. But what do you define as your right place? Where is Will most happy, most dialed in, most fulfilled?
You know, so it's essentially around, you know, people, you know, and the energy that those people give me. Like, I'm very sort of intentional about sort of, attracting like attracts alike, you know. For me, it's being in those environments where people, you know, are very much innovation driven about sort of creating value and creating sort of disruptive innovation. And I think that's quite interesting because I do believe that there's a sort of a community, a subculture around, you know, it doesn't have to belong in a specific place. You know, I think humans are very much aligned with, oh, it has to be a South African focused networking group. You know, a long time ago, I sort of said, no, the value I want to create is with entrepreneurs. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, based in Africa. You can be based in London or Singapore and that. So there is this kind of network state, you know, Balaji talks about it around, you know, these cultures and these communities, which share certain beliefs around, you know, what value they can create together. You know, so it is effectively just building a tribe of those types of people. I call them sort of my A team. But again, it's very much around you know, really about creating economic prosperity and value for all. But being very innovative. You know, I'm someone who's quite conditioned. When I do see a challenge or a problem, you know, I see opportunity in that, and that's something completely. It's not taught. You've got to sort of train yourself to be able to think and like that. But I want to sort of surround myself with those types of people.
No, excellent. I love that answer, Will. I love that answer because it kind of grounds you. It gives you direction because you know what you stand for. You know what you want to do, and you're playing a big picture game here as well. You're adding value at all these different levels, and the right people come alongside that. Like you said, exactly like what you said, like attracts like, and you're kind of filtering.
Yeah, and it's other communities as well. You know, like the Lekka Network. We hosted a walk together. You know, it's collaboration. It's imagining what you know, 1 + 1 equals. You know, in or 1 × 1, or maybe we've got to put a couple of, you know, like powers of 3. You know. Or 9 to get to our billion, you know, but 10 to the 9. But I think it's 1 to the 9. Sorry, I'm getting my maths sorted out here. But But yeah, I think it is about that. It's being having that growth mindset. I guess it's kind of obviously people have spoken about that, but you know, it's also surrounding yourself with those types of people. And I'm very curious to kind of meet people who listen to this podcast and share that same sort of mindset and seeing how we could, you know, add value together.
Awesome. Well, I love that. Now, Will, we come to the end of the pod and it's been a fascinating discussion. If someone wants to join for the 100th walk, how do they go about that? What can they expect? What's the vibe going to be? What's up your sleeve? Anything you can share with us about joining the 100th walk?
Yeah, so I don't know, John, you know, we might have to close down the mountain, you know, after this podcast. But, you know, ideally, you know, there's obviously a link which you can put in the show notes, and effectively it's just filling in the form. And just to pitch up, you know, and you know, expect nothing, receive all, you know. and yeah, it's I think from a and it's quite interesting. I'm generally trying to shirk away from attention, and even the fact that this thing's called Will Green Walk, you know, I prefer WGW, you know, because it doesn't sort of have my name there. But it's not about me. That's the thing. It really is about the community. And I'm just there in the background or in the front, kind of leading people. And I think that is the magic that, you know, and it's the people who chat and then invite other people. And that's kind of how sort of a movement starts. And I'm not going to be all cultish like Brian Johnson and say like, don't die. You know, let's be honest. It's a bit sort of too cultish. And sell overpriced olive oil and sort of like lots of pills and supplements, you know. I think we actually do drink alcohol on the summit, so there will be some South African bubbles made, and there will or might not be a ChatGPT inspired lion's head cake, which we will celebrate the cutting of. I think that's what it's about. It really is. We do take celebrating seriously. So if it's someone's birthday, we know about it, and we'll sort of always ensure there's a cupcake and a candle, even when it's raining in winter in Cape Town. There will be sort of orange juice if you don't want to have your alcohol that early. But, you know, us South Africans like to celebrate life, and there will be some formosas on the summit and a great picture. And lack of fears, you know, I think that's what it's about. So, yeah, that's not kind of overselling it. I want to sort of undersell it and over deliver. Mm. But, I always get a bit sort of worried with these big walks. You know, I think our record or with the Lekker Network was over 50. You know, I think this could be 60 or 70. I'm a bit scared. And the biggest thing for me though is making sure that people come back safely. Yes. You know, and that's why obviously the form's important. It is an indemnity form. We've had many Americans who come on our walk and it's just to cover me from litigious people. But yeah, it really is. And we've got some great community volunteers like Paul and Marco and yourself as well, Yuck, and Grant, who ensure that there's someone at the back, someone in the middle, I'm in the front generally. And yeah, we just make sure that everyone comes back okay. But we are very sort of, yeah, we are very adult and entrepreneurial. You know, we don't sort of wait. We go at 6. So if your Uber's late, you know, make sure that you can catch up or see you on the next one.
Awesome. Well, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I just encourage everyone to join. I'm going to share it with a whole bunch of people. And I just want people to experience it. Just I promise, there's like one thing you do in Cape Town in the next 6 weeks. Just make it one of these walks and just come and experience the vibe. Even if you've climbed Lion's Head and you've done the sunsets and everything, it's a totally different vibe in the morning, especially now when it's dark. I mean, it's proper dark starting, proper dark, probably by the time we get to the top, and like the sun's only coming out like halfway down. And I mean, that's magical. It's absolutely magical. And you started your Friday.
Those are my best ones, John. I love those when it rains and it's like and the wind's blowing a bit and you just see there's no torches up on the summit. You're going, it's just me here. No one would know. You know, I could just go for a coffee. So the one thing is the coffee and the rusks do help you to incentivize you to get to the run. But I'm looking forward to the the sort of the winter wet periods where there yeah. might only be six people and myself, mm-hmm. or if no one's there, it'll always be me, you know. And sometimes I've had just solo ones, and those have been great sort of times to reflect on myself. So yeah, I'm seeing this sort of trajectory in the numbers, but I think we're going to sort of, it's going to be quite double what we had in sort of in winter last year. But yeah, it's going to be a great time. And yeah, and that's the seasons of life. You know, we go through yes. these, different ups and downs, and yeah, I just want to be the consistent person there.
Awesome, Will. No, we love that. And we are grateful for you, Will, and for starting something so cool like this. If someone wants to connect with you, learn more about Will Green, what you do, especially the work with founders and entrepreneurs, where's the best place to do that?
Yeah, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my dopamine. I'm not on Instagram, but LinkedIn I'm on quite a bit. I do like to share sort of value and incentives and sort of stories and expertise on there. So do connect with me. I think I am the Will Green. So that's linkedin.com/IN/Will Green. And yeah, look forward to connecting with you there. And do pop me a message saying that you did hear the podcast and what was your favorite part about the podcast. That's always good feedback.
Awesome. We'll really appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Will Green, the Will Green from Will Green's Walks. We've got the 100th walk coming up in a few days' time. We really hope to see you there. If you are there, please, we're going to snap lots of selfies. We're going to drink some bubbles. We're going to high five each other. And we're just going to have a lack of time as South Africans and internationals on one of the most famous mountains in the world. Will, thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing to learn more about you, about your journey, the work you do with the founders. And really looking forward to seeing you on the mountain for many years to come.
Thanks, John. And look forward to seeing you there on the 100th walk.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll see you next time at the right place.